And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF Kyle High with you this morning. We hope you are having a good day today. And joining us now for Greenside Up, we have David Scrotz and James Coover. And guys, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning.
Well, it's good to hear from you guys today. And before we get started on your main subjects today, do we have a few events coming up?
Yeah, we got quite a few. I mean, we always got stuff coming out. Yeah. It's pretty never ends. So. The one thing we have coming up, I guess we can go in chronological order. We have a cattle marketing meeting. And so this is basically for a cow-calf risk management. And it's part of, we're going to pretty much do this in every one of the extension offices. And so you'll just come and we'll have people there. The presentations are online. We'll be watching people live, you know, the presenters. It'll be pretty much every office from 5:30 to 8:30 on February the 23rd. And so if you're a cow-calf manager, you want to learn about marketing and all those aspects, insurance and all that, you know, please come and talk to us. It's going to be a really good event. The day after that will actually be the Farms Conference. We've been talking about this for a while. You know, it's going to be just a fantastic program. It was last time we did this. It is really awesome to do this, and it'll be in Parsons on February 24th. And then I think Wendy is going to have her animal health night, and that will be on March the 2nd.
Yes.
And so it's been going on for decades now,
and it will be held at the Civic Center in Independence.
Yep.
All right, so that's some events coming up here in the area, so get ready for those, and obviously we'll talk a little bit more about that here in our next segment, but we're going to go ahead and start with Davin this morning, and Davin, you're going to be talking about bird feeders today.
Yes, I'll be talking a little bit about bird feeders. Of course, during the winter and colder weather, it's harder for birds to find food readily available, so bird feeders are one thing that you can have in your yard that really helps them out, especially in winter.
Okay, so again, like you said, they have a harder time getting food in the winter. So what is a good way, how can you attract birds to your backyard?
Yeah, a good way to bring birds up close to your house, so they're right there where you can easily maybe watch them out of your kitchen window, is to feed them. The type of birds you attract will depend on the type of feed you put out, the type of feeder you use, and the location of the feeder. There are several different types of feeders. The most common are platform feeders, tube feeders, suet feeders, and hanging feeders. There are also variations and combinations of these different types of feeders. Choose a ground level platform feeder or a raised platform feeder, or a high or low hanging feeder are some of the different combinations. Location, whether it's up high or down lower, as well as surrounding cover, seems to have as much to do with usage of the feeder by birds as does the type of feed. They like having that cover in the form of usually trees close by the feeder, so they feel a little bit more protected if there happens to be any predators in the area.
Right, and they don't want to, like, out in the open where they can't get away, you know, mm-hmm. quickly. They have a little protection there, so it's a good place to put them is in the trees as well. So what about also providing a source of water?
Water is another important consideration in backyard habitats for birds and any wildlife, especially in the winter, as sources of water may be scarce because they're more likely to freeze, of course. A bird bath with a bird bath heater may help attract as many birds as the feed in your feeders during the winter because they have that source of warmer water that isn't frozen and is easy for them to use. Locate the bird bath where it will be convenient to fill and close enough, of course, to an electric outlet that you can plug in that heater.
And like you said, they can drink that water, but that warm water probably also feels pretty good to them as well if it's a little chilly outside. So they can kind of hang out in that area as well. So are bird feeders as important during the winter as they are, say, during the summer?
Yeah, I kind of mentioned this earlier, but don't be fooled by the occasional day or two of warm weather like we've been having recently here in Kansas. It really is actually winter, and the weather forecast is predicting it to get cold, a little bit colder again with that possibility of snow. And you may be thinking that birds have survived the most bitter parts of the season, but it is important to keep helping the birds out to get through the next several weeks before it is truly spring and consistently warm weather, by continuing to put the fill those bird feeders up.
Of course, we had snow, I think, last week or the week before, and now we had 70 degrees yesterday. Now snow and sleet tomorrow.
It's kind of been all over the place.
So it is all over the place. But again, so hopefully we can, like you said, level it out during March. So, So what kind of seeds do birds like the best when it comes to putting food in a bird feeder?
There are many food mixes for birds available, even depending on if you're looking to attract a specific type of bird to your yard. But there is one type of seed that has more universal appeal to birds than any other, and those are black oil sunflower seeds. So if you're new to the bird feeding game, make sure there's a high percentage of black oil sunflower seeds in your mix. White millet is also preferred by many birds, especially dark-eyed juncos, sparrows, and the red-winged blackbird. And as you become more interested in bird feeding, you may want to use more than one feeder to attract specific species of birds and be able to have different types of feed available in your yard. And during the extended periods of cold weather, again, also make sure water is available, as well as those bird feeders full of food, and that will really help attract birds to your yard if you're interested in bird watching.
Oh, absolutely. And it's always cool to kind of have that bird feeder in your yard, because you know, you get several birds kind of hang out, you know, and you don't want to disturb them, obviously, but it's kind of cool just to see them, you know, up there and feeding, just kind of hanging out. And then of course, if you make a slight move, they fly off real quick. So
yeah.
But again, best place to put them though is kind of up in the trees, where there's kind of a protected area for them to kind of hang out, to where they don't feel it's like open in the area.
Yeah, or just close to trees or any type of shelter for them.
All right, so even though you may not think about it, go get a bird feeder. That way you can watch some birds. And also, like I said, a bird bath, they'll like that. Like I said, if you especially if it gets cold, the water could freeze. It's good to kind of have that heater there to kind of keep that water from freezing.
Yeah, especially if you're an avid bird watcher, right? This time of year, that's a good way to continue to encourage them to come through your yard to visit that bird bath as well as the feeder.
Yeah, they'll tell their other bird friends, but man, this water's warm over here. So, all right. Well, David, if anybody has any more questions about bird feeders or maybe some other things, how can they get a hold of you?
They can reach me by calling the extension office at 620-331-2690.
All right. So, again, thank you so much for coming in. And before we go ahead and take a break here, I'm going to bring it to James here. And James, so what will you be talking about here in this second part of our program?
I'm going to be talking about mostly about nitrogen. And so this time of year is nitrogen. Top dressing, wheat, top dressing, pastures, top dressing. I mean, pretty much anything that's out there, it's probably got to have nitrogen. So any sort of grass crop, it's going to need it.
It's going to need it. So again, we'll get to that part of our program coming up here after the break. We'll have some news coming up here at the top of the hour from Fox, and also some local news with Connor Harbit. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. And welcome back to Green Side Up right here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. And in studio again with us this morning, we have David Skrantz and James Coover back for the second part of our program today. And guys, welcome back. And James, before we start on your subject today, once again, you got a couple of events coming up, correct?
Oh, yeah. We always got events coming up. And so the first thing we're going to talk about is the animal health, or basically the cow-calf risk management and marketing for your cow-calf operation. And that'll be on February 23rd at 5:30. The Farms Conference, talked about a lot They'll be on February the 24th in Parsons. We also have Animal Health Day. And so Wendy's annual Animal Health Day has been going on for decades. It'll be on March the 2nd. And they're in Independence, 6:15. And so we also have some other stuff coming up. Walk Kansas is coming up soon. I think that's also on February the 23rd or 24th. And so that's starting here pretty soon. I think the facts, ladies, they got some cooking classes and a bunch of other stuff coming up. And so there's all sorts of things that we have going on. So,
all right. Well, again, those are coming up here pretty soon. And let's go ahead and get started with your topic today. And you led off with it pretty quickly. Nitrogen is what we're talking about today. And also top dressing and all of that. So when it comes to top dressing, what is top dressing and why is it done this time of year?
And so top dressing, it basically means putting fertilizer onto something that's already there. There's really, it's right. Kind of a broad term. And so it could be done with, you know, pastures, wheat, and lawns too. I mean, you top dress your lawn this time of year. Mm-hmm. And so it simply means putting fertilizer on top of the ground. That's what it means. And so this time of year, we need to fertilize our cool season grasses. And so fescue pretty much is number one. Obviously wheat is another cool season grass. And so those grasses, they can't make their own nitrogen, unlike the clovers. So we need to put some on there for it to grow well. And often not the, you know, the organic matter is too cold to start to turn over too. So those grasses start to grow before the organic matter starts to make nitrogen. So they struggle in the beginning if they don't have something added. Usually, you know, that fertilizer is nitrogen heavy, but we can actually add some phosphorus and potassium as well if needed. In that's not a universal thing. You don't always add phosphorus and potassium without knowing if it needs it or not. For wheat, most top dress applications, around 50 to 60 pounds. There's a lot of variability there. I mean, you need to increase that maybe about 30 pounds if you're going to be grazing that later on, if you want both grazing and, you know, winter wheat grain. Also, soft wheat. We grow a lot of soft wheat around here, especially, you know, a little bit farther east. Most of the time, soft wheat gets a higher nitrogen weight as well. And so that higher bushels that you'll expect with soft wheat, you got to fertilize for that. So, you know, all that, there's quite a bit of nitrogen going on. It's already gone on for the wheat. And after this snow kind of melts and dissipates and we get ground enough dry, there's going to be a lot more fertilizer put out there. For fescue pastures, it's kind of the same thing. Really, it's the same time frame that we're looking at fescue pastures. The rate historically was around 80 to 100 pounds per year. That's not just one application. However, you know, prices are kind of more expensive. I expect there'd be a lot less fertilizer on pastures this year, right, just because of the expense. Ideally, this split is 2/3 in the spring, 1/3 in the fall, just because of the growing season we're talking about. Some people like to actually flip that. And so P and K is normally applied in the fall. It can be applied in the spring on fescue pastures if needed. If you're only going to do it once during the year, which a lot of ranchers do, you know, you can put that P and K in the spring too. But of course, don't put like, maybe if you're going to, you have like a heavy grazing and then haying operation, you might put up to 80 pounds of nitrogen on in one application. That's still a pretty heavy one. And the same thing for lawns. I mean, lawns are a pasture, I guess. I mean, it's a fescue pasture, really. And so, but of course, it's a much smaller scale. So we're talking about like 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. You times that out to, you know, how big of an acre is. That's around 40 pounds of nitrogen per, acre. And so, of course, you put nitrogen on your lawn, you're going to be mowing a lot more. It just depends on what kind of lawn you want. If you want, you know, that nice, pretty green lawn.
Thick grass, you know.
If you like mowing the perfection of your lawn, maybe you're, you know, you're retired and you have time for that. You can put nitrogen on your lawn. Trees and bushes, they need nitrogen too. Usually, though, if you fertilize your lawn, your trees and your bushes are going to get plenty of nitrogen, just the stuff that the grass doesn't get. Mm-hmm. I mean, trees are huge. That does not mean they need a large amount of nitrogen. And so I've known people that have done that. They put down far more nitrogen than a tree could ever use. It actually ended up killing the tree.
Oh, no.
Well, almost killing it because, you know, it's a salt, really. And so don't overdo it. Like, right. It only needs a little bit. I mean, one, you can even go to 2 pounds of nitrogen. That's probably too much even. So just be wary. It is, you know, a salt chemical. So got to be careful with that.
And you were talking about it earlier that nitrogen fertilizer is pretty expensive right now. So, again, that can't change the rates, can it not?
Yeah. It's come down a little bit. I think the price per pound of urea, nitrogen, the actual nitrogen in, was over $1 a pound. And now I think it's around a little bit over 80 cents a pound. And so it's come down 20%, but it's still twice what it was last year and most years. And so it's still pretty expensive. It is coming down pretty fast, though. So hopefully, you know, by the time top dress application here in a couple weeks, it'll be a little bit cheaper anyway. It's probably not that much. So, you know, does it make sense to reduce nitrogen rates? Not usually. That yield return is still high enough, especially when we're talking about a cash crop. And so grain and wheat and corn, those markets are still high enough that you can't really reduce your rates all that much. And so it kind of is what it is, honestly, when it comes to the inputs of fertilizer most of the time. You probably can a little bit, because that break-even point is going to be reduced a little bit. And so it's mostly about making the most efficient use of your fertilizer now, because we have pretty high denitrification rates here in southeast Kansas. It's nice and, I mean, it's a little bit too dry, honestly, out there, but it is dry enough. Yeah. And so our denitrification rates are probably going to be a little bit less this year because you need really saturated soil for that to happen. So less of a worry this year, but still that usage is very important. Can't really reduce it all that much. Pastures will probably get a little bit of a reduction. And really, that's just because, I don't know, it's expensive to fertilize stuff and pastures. I mean, you're still going to grow grass, although I'd say don't skip it entirely. I mean, the first 30 to 40 pounds of your nitrogen on your pasture, that's going to give your biggest bang for your buck. You need to increase that protein and the yields and all that, and so you can't skip out on all of it, but you can probably reduce the rate a little bit. And so the first 30 to 40 pounds is going to be the biggest aspect. Probably get you your next ton to ton and a half, maybe even 2 tons, is that next 30 to 40 pounds. That's, you know, a less return on your rates. And so you got to just kind of consider that. But also, you don't have less cows. So you have the same amount of cows, you're going to need the same amount of grass.
Right.
Yeah, so you got to weigh that balance. For lawns, it doesn't really matter too much because, I mean, there's not really that much expense there. So
right.
They are what they are. So.
And just kind of talking about how, you know, it's been kind of dry. The snow really doesn't help that much either, because when it melts, it's not really that much moisture. Because it's not getting into the ground that far.
Yeah. Snow is really, really fluffy rain. And so, I mean, it takes, what, like a foot of snow to make 1 inch of rain or something like that?
It's not a whole lot.
And so the 2 inches of snow that we get around here, that's not really adding up very much. So fortunately, though, we're supposed to get quite a bit of rain before the snow. And that rain, maybe that could actually add up to something.
Yeah, hopefully. We definitely need some around here. It's been a while since I think we've had an appreciable rain.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, that profile out, I mean, the how much rain we could fit into the soil profile right now is huge. We could probably get a 4 to 5 inch rain and it would all fit in our soil profile, which is really weird for this time of year. Most of the time it's a swamp out there. It's a mud swamp. Whatever it is that we get this time, it's going to soak into the soil real fast.
Right.
We'll probably be out in the field here in a week. So
yeah, it's so we definitely need some. So hopefully we get some pretty good rain, not flooding rains, but hopefully something that the ground can use, basically, because it's pretty dry out there. So why is nitrogen so important to crops and pastures?
So nitrogen, it's the component of pretty much all living things. It's literally a component of protein, and protein is in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, every biological process, that's probably why it's the most important nutrient. And also for a soil chemistry aspect, you know, it's an anion rather than a cation. And so it's very movable in the soil, so we don't get to keep it from year to year. And the timing on fertilizer, nitrogen is more important than a lot of the other fertilizers. For wheat, even though a lot of our wheat was planted kind of late, even after our soybeans, there's little tiny little wheats out there, it's very important that they get their nitrogen early enough to do it any good, because For tillering, for the determining the meshes per head, which is a final component to yield, all of that is dependent upon how well that plant is doing before it gets to that point. So you can't really wait too long when it comes to fertilizing on your wheat, because so much of that yield is decided long before it looks like that plant has decided it. So, you know, it's got to be out there and ready. And, you know, the same thing with pastures. It improves protein, obviously, it's part of protein, and improves the yield as well. And so it does have some effect on creating the endophyte in like K31 fescue. It's like hot endophyte. You have to actually ask Wendy more about that, because I don't know a whole lot about the endophyte. But it is an issue, and it does have an effect on that. I think it's just because the plant does so much better that the little bacteria that's the endophyte is does better too. But for lawns, you know, it's only important if you like mowing. It's, yeah, you don't really care about the protein in the lawn, so it is what it is there.
All right, so, and then, what are some of the options when it comes to nitrogen fertilizers?
There are a lot of options. You know, we have urea. We have urea ammonium sulfate, which is, you know, UAN. Anhydrous, which we're not worried about anhydrous this time of year. That's mostly pre-plant application for corn, which is still going in, but that's, you know, not top dress. That's pre-plant. We also have ammonium sulfate, and so that's a sulfur fertilizer, but has ammonia on there to keep it stable. Also, we have DAP, diammonium phosphate, which also has ammonium on there to keep it stable. It's a cation. You need an anion to go with it. And so, really, you know, urea is the vast majority of what we're talking about now, because that can go in our pastures. Most of the time, that's what we use on our pastures. Most of the time, that's what we use in our top dress wheat. We do use a little bit of UAN on streamer bars. Liquid, basically. UAN is liquid, I should say that. And, you know, but if you're putting your urea on, you can actually mix that with a controlled urea. And so you mix that about 50-50, and we'll get that urea a little bit farther on into the season. Because a part of the problem is we put it all on now. By the time we get to April, May, that wheat still needs a little bit of that nitrogen. And it's all either been sucked up or, you know, through the profile or denitrified off. We need some of that to be held on to. And so putting that, slow the release on there will actually kind of help it. You can actually do that for your lawns too. So that's an aspect. A lot of that stuff actually already has that in it. UAN, we use that for mixing herbicides. If we're going to put that top dressed on, put the herbicide in there. In some cases, actually makes the herbicide more effective. And so, you know, especially with AMS, which is ammonium sulfate. When it comes to spreading on frozen ground, I don't think that we're going to have any frozen ground anytime soon. We're probably too late for that. I don't suggest it. It is too risky. Some years we absolutely have to, like last year. This year, though, it's already too late. Our grounds are dry enough. That's probably not an issue. But never put urea on top of snow. It might seem like it's the only option, but you'll just end up with urea everywhere. It does not stay put at all.
I remember what you said last year, that even though it was like minus 15 degrees, the ground really was not that cold.
Yeah.
It's just you go down of just basically a few inches in the ground, it was actually fairly warm. It didn't matter what the air temperature was.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Ground temperature and air temperature are two very different things. And, I mean, it was at that point, it was, you know, what could hold up the fertilizer truck.
Right.
And so, I mean, if it was crunchy on top and they weren't sinking too far, they were still doing it. But, yeah, it's not the same aspect. Right. So. And so, you know, this time of year, though, I think the ground is dry enough. We should have plenty of windows, I'm hoping, up in March. And so unless it gets really rainy here soon, we're not going to have an issue with top dressing this year. So.
Yeah, sky's opening up, basically. Yeah. What have to happen. Like you were saying, probably about 5 inches. We could get about 5 inches of rain, and still the ground will still accept it pretty well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't see we're going to have an issue. And usually pastures, you can get onto your pastures a little bit sooner, just because, you know, that thick root system there. Mm-hmm. And they got fairly these, the urea trucks have these great big tires. I mean, just these huge tires. And so they get into the pastures when it's pretty wet out, honestly. But of course your field crops, I mean, that's been tilled. And so they kind of get crushed down a little bit, but I'm not worried about it this year.
So. All right. Well, so again, some good information there about nitrogen and also top dressing. And James, if anybody has any questions about what you've talked about today, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. If you have any questions about soil fertility or nitrogen rates or anything like that, just give me a call. The number for the Girard office is 620-724-8233.
All right. And David, one more time, if somebody wants to get a hold of you about bird feeders or any other topic, how can they get a hold of you again?
They can reach me by calling the Independence office. That number is 620-331-2690.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming in today. We really do appreciate it, and we'll see you again next time.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we're going to start open lines. So keep it locked here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.